I'm reading from Mark chapter 15, verses 33 to 39. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "See, he's calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a stick, offered him a drink, and said, "Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who was standing opposite him saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Good Friday proclaims the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And we can see this in different passages throughout the New Testament, where we see that Christ has defeated the dark powers of sin and death and has provided forgiveness for all. Today we're going to look at a few of those scriptures. Let me read them for you. John 16:33, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 15, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Good Friday announces the atoning work that Jesus did on the cross, not just for the forgiveness of our sins, but also to overcome the powers of evil and death in this world. We can experience the sacrifice that Jesus made, not just in our own individual salvation, but as a power that defeats sin and death in our world and in our lives today. So it's not just an eternal issue, it's a right now thing that Jesus has done for us. You know, Good Friday is the day that when we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross, and that cross is a symbol of salvation or rescue in other terms, and also of a redemption or a restoration. Because we are in a position where there's been, because of the fall, we need restoration with our relationship with God. And that's why Jesus came to die on the cross for us. And that's what he did and accomplished it by rising from the dead. But what are we rescued from and restored to? Because Christians might see the cross as individual salvation, which it's true, but Scripture does go beyond that to talk about the individual nature of redemption and how it shows the cross as a symbol of victory over evil and sin and death, not just for afterlife, or so for after death, but for right now as we live and as we breathe. It's not just for individuals either. It's not just for us as an individual, but it's also for all of creation, because all of creation was put in this predicament. N.T. Wright describes this cosmic salvation that I'm talking about, this cosmos-type salvation, saying that something happened when Jesus died as a result of which the world is a different place. No one realized until Easter Day, and it took them a while to realize it even then, but something happened. And this is very difficult for us to talk about because it's to do with there being dark forces in the world which we humans give power to by worshiping them. Whether we call them gods or whether we just think of them as money, sex, and power, or whatever it is, anything that has power over us, we worship them, which is idolatrous. Our humanity fractures, which is sin. How are we rescued from that? Jesus rescues us from all the things that get in the way of our being the genuine human beings we are supposed to be. The Apostle Paul explains this cosmic salvation over the forces of darkness in the book of Colossians, and he says it in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And Paul goes, he also goes on to say that the believers are the ones that God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, and he put them to shame by triumphing over them in him. Now, Jesus talks about this overcoming evil in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says it to his disciples. He says, you are going to go through tribulation. You are going to go through trouble. But he also says, I'm giving you peace. And this unique peace, even though they may go through tribulation and trials and persecution, it's for believing in him because he has overcome the world. And we see that in John chapter 16, verse 33. Now, the Greek words for victory, conquer, or overcome all come from the same family of Greek words. So it's a word, one of them is Nike. That's kind of where the shoe company gets their word from, like victory, conquering, overcoming. And it paints a picture of victory, of God, of Jesus winning this victory, much like an army battle. And the word world is derived from another Greek word, that's cosmos. And the definition of world in this book of John is meaning it is a way of life ordered apart from and contrary to God, and it chooses to run against God in a different direction. So, in other words, Jesus has defeated or conquered death and claimed victory over a life that is separated or apart from God. You don't have to struggle with life apart from God anymore. He's available to you today because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In the book The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis paints a really good picture of this atoning victory. To atone the sins of Edmund, Aslan, the great lion, is killed by this white witch, and she kills him on the altar. All the wicked forces come out in Narnia, and they humiliate the king, and then they kill him. Now, obviously, we know that the story doesn't stop there, but where we are on Good Friday, we're going to stay at this point. But it's a really good illustration of the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ. Good Friday represents the beginning of things being made right. Good Friday is the beginning of life where God is accessible to you right now, where you live, in your homes, where you sit, no matter where you go, where you work, or what you do. And although Good Friday revolves around the gruesome and brutal death of Jesus Christ, it is the beginning work of Christ defeating sin, evil, and death. And we can come to this place now where we place our faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the atoning work and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, not just for life after death, but for a new life now, not bound by sin or evil or darkness. So how do you address the life and death of Jesus Christ, where you are right now in your life? Over the next few days, I want to challenge you, before Easter, think about where you stand on the death of Jesus Christ. Do you have an opinion based on what other people have told you, other cultural viewpoints, what social media says, or have you personally reflected on what the life and death of Jesus means to you today? I want to encourage you not to allow other people, even me, to persuade you into believing something that you haven't looked into properly. You need to make an opinion for yourself. You need to work it out, and you need to actually search for answers. Don't cancel out the truth because it might be hard to find or difficult to hear. In a sea of noise, I want to ask you today to ask God to speak to you, and I promise you, He will. You just have to be ready to listen for his voice. There's so much going on in our world right now, and there's so many people, even Christians, screaming truth that they don't have anything to back it up about. And so we want to be super careful on what bandwagon we jump on. Redo your research when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to his life, his history. A real person, a real man who did incredible things. All these witnesses that saw him can't be wrong. 5,000 people don't hallucinate the same dream. I don't think we've ever been in a situation where that's possible. And so I want you to think about that for a little while. Look into the life of Jesus Christ, his death, and those that saw him after he had died. There's so much proof out there, it's difficult to get through all that noise. And I want to challenge you today to go against that and look for the truth within all that racket and all that noise. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm very excited about Easter, but as we move towards Easter, I want to reflect on the life and death of Jesus and what he's done for me personally and what he's done for our world. And all those are very complicated things to think about and to, you know, discuss, it's really something at this time that we need to do as we reflect on what he's done for us. So at this time, we gave you a package. It was so nice seeing you on Good Friday. We've given you a package, and in there is a communion cup. Let's do communion together. Let me read to you Mark chapter 14, verse 22. As they were eating, he took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." Let's take this in remembrance of Jesus' broken body. And he goes on to say in verse 23 and following, "Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. I tell you the truth, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Let's partake of this together, a symbol of the blood that was shed from his broken body. Let me pray for you. Lord, shock and save me with the terrible goodness of this Friday, and drive me deep into my longing for your kingdom, until I seek it first, yet not for myself, but for the hungry and the sick and the poor of your children, for prisoners of conscience around the world, for those I have wasted with my racism and sexism and ageism and nationalism and religious doings. For those around this Mother Earth and in this city who this Friday know far more of terror than of goodness, that in my seeking first the kingdom for them as well as for myself, all these things may be mine as well. Things like comfort, a few lilies in the field, the sight of birds soaring on the wind, a song in the night, and gladness of heart. The sense of your presence and the realization of your promise that nothing in life or death will be able to separate me or those I love from your love. In the crucified one who is our Lord and in whose name and spirit I pray, Jesus, amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight. And we can't wait to see you because Sunday's a coming. God bless you and be safe out there.